Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. Today, I am thrilled to share with you an awesome lady. I am here today with Tina Panariello. She is an author. She is the owner of She's Nailed It, Nail Artistry. She has pursued this for 32 years. She's a nail technician, a world-class hand-painted nail art educator, artist, actor, published author, 2015 Top Women in Business, and an accomplished miniature nail artist. She is a first and second place world and international nail art champion, adding many other nail art awards. She was recruited at a nail art competition, taking first place by a vice president and manager of OPI to become OPI's nail art educator. You just have a tremendous background in history. I'm so excited to share you with my listeners today. And oh my gosh, how happy you must make so many people with how beautiful you make their nails, what you do for others. I want to say welcome, Tina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Paula. It's my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I would love to begin, if we could, with a little bit of background, possibly share a bit of your family history and what you liked doing as a young girl, and what brought you into the beauty business.
Well, I'm originally from Lower Manhattan, of an Italian, Ukrainian, and Polish background. I lived in Lower Manhattan until I was 11, and we used to play in the streets. We used to play handball against the walls of the buildings, box ball, stickball in the streets. Not that I played that, and things like that. And then at 11, I moved to Brooklyn, New York. And when I moved to Brooklyn, New York, it was like going to the country. It was absolutely beautiful. And I would travel to school by train because you couldn't walk it. You could, but not really. And I was interested in, at that time, doing shows in school called Sing, which is how I got acting under my belt. And I was very good in biology, and you're going to think this is funny, but that's where my art background came in. I used to draw the anatomy of the human body, the inside of the human body. And I loved it. I just loved it. My mother owned encyclopedias about the human body. And I spent the whole summer sitting at home drawing up these pictures. And I was such a fool, but at that time, I gave it to my teacher to put in the biology department, which I should not have done, but I did it, and that's the way it goes.
Yes.
And I lived there until I got married. I got married. I was married for 16 years. I had a son, Wayne. And we parted. We divorced amiably. And after my divorce, for some reason, I got involved in a in-home jewelry business. And at the time, I was playing around with my own nails. All women paint their nails. So I
Yes.
would paint all different colors, right, Paula? We all do
Yes.
these
Yes.
colors on our nails.
Yes.
So I kept seeing different designs, and I said, I'm going to try that. And it was a design of a ladybug. So I went home, I did one nail, and it wound up doing all 10. So all 10 nails were ladybugs.
Love it.
Yep, and I went to school, and the mothers at school saw my nails and said, did you do those? Where'd you get them done? I said, I did them. Why? They go, oh my God, Tina, they're beautiful. I said, oh, thank you very much. Do you do nails? No. Oh, you should do nails. You got to get into nails. Oh my God, they would love to do this. And we're talking about back in the 80s where this was not known. Like the early 80s, they didn't do this.
Yes.
So that's how I got in the beauty business. But deep down inside, when I was little, I wanted to be a hairdresser. But I couldn't stand because I hurt my back. So that went out the window. And then there were no nail schools, Paula. So what I did a lot of reading. I read a lot about how to do nails. There wasn't much out there, but that's what I did. And that's how I started in the beauty industry.
I love it. I love it. And so this actually turned your passion into doing nails. Would you say that it, at one point this became a passion?
Oh, definitely. It was a hobby at first. Because
mm-hmm.
I worked in the city at first. Well, when Wayne was little, I didn't work at all. But I did work in the city. I did go to acting school. I did all that for 7 years. And then it was a hobby. Do my nails. And that's what I did. And one thing led to another.
Yes.
I don't even remember how sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. As you progressed with this business of doing your nails, how did you promote your nail business, your profession? How did you promote your salon?
That is funny, because at the time, promotion was done by word of mouth. I started doing nails. I acquired my clients as an in-home business. I would go to their home first, so they'd come to my home, and they would tell their friends. So I built up a following of, say, 35 people or more.
Yes.
And when I decided to open a salon, 35 of them came. Well, I would say 35. And by word of mouth, within 4 years, I had 250 clients.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I love
yep.
it. I love it. Personally, I believe word of mouth is the best advertisement you can have. It really is.
I agree. Even though today you have to do it in other ways sometimes.
Yes.
Word of mouth doesn't always work.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. That is so fantastic. Have you ever competed in nail competitions?
Yes, I did. Many of them. 4 times a year to California. And I did that for 2 years until I took my second place trophy and my first place trophy. I took the second place 1 year and the first place the next year. So when I won second place and I met the winner, because I knew who she was, I walked over and whispered in her ear, "I'm taking your trophy next year."
Oh,
and she
I
looked
love
at me. And she looked at me and she goes, "Okay, you go." I said, "I will."
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So that's, and I won in New York as well. And I definitely have 15 trophies under my belt, both East Coast and West Coast, total.
Oh, I can imagine how fun that profession is, because there's so much creativity in that.
Yes. At that time, a lot of it had to do with painting, flat painting or fantasy painting, which is raised art on a nail. And I've always competed in the flat nail art. And today it has just evolved in so much that it's unbelievable how it is, has evolved.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. What inspired you to do these competitions, Tina, and how did you feel after you finally accomplished them?
What I had gone to the International Beauty Show in New York 1 year, and I went to see what they were doing. So they had competition, so I watched it, and I said, you know what, that looks interesting. I'm going to try it. So I did, and I did not win. I cried my eyes out, but I was determined. I was determined. I said, why can't I do it? So I would go back to my salon, and I would keep practicing on my clients, which turned out to be all my friends, and it was wonderful. And then I would keep going. The first time I won was in Pennsylvania. And I took third place. That was my only third place trophy I own.
Mm-hmm.
After winning, you are on such a high. Your accomplishment for yourself is so rewarding to know that you were able to do a great job and you were appreciated for what you do.
Yes, Yes.
So that's how I felt. And I brought it home to my salon. And I would tell all my clients, and they would broadcast it to their friends. And each time, new clients would come in.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What
Thank
was
you.
the one thing or person that kept pushing you to keep going and not give up? How did they influence you?
The people that influenced me were my clients.
Oh.
All my clients. They're the ones that did it. Everyone. And myself as well. But they were always behind me and still are. And still are. They're, if I would suggest something, why don't you try it? Go do it. How did you do?
Yes.
What are you going to do next? Where are you going now? And they are 150% behind me, and I love them dearly, dearly.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Myself, having been a restaurant owner and in one restaurant for 27 years, I became so attached to my customers. It's so true. Isn't it beautiful to have
Yes.
that kind of support? It's priceless. It really is.
I agree with you 100%. 100%.
That is just beautiful. I love it. Well, Tina, I'm afraid we do have to pop out for a commercial. Everyone, we will be right back with some more chatting with Tina. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, Paula V here. I am chatting with Tina Panariello. She is the owner of Nail Artistry by Tina. Tina has just shared with us her beautiful, inspiring story and her journey in her business and her profession and what she's doing for her clients. It's just been absolutely amazing. I love it, Tina. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I would love to ask you about your book. Will you please tell us what inspired you to write your book and share a bit about what this book is about, please?
Actually, I wanted to write an art book, but it turns out that was not going to happen. It turns out that I wound up with a publisher that said, well, let's know about your life. Why don't you write a story about your life? So I said, so I sent them a little blurb on a website, and they got back to me, and they said, okay, tell us a little about you. And in 15 minutes I did, or actually I don't even know how fast I told them. And she says, great, send us your information. And I did. And I started to write a book about my life from when I was a little girl until, let's say, I wrote my book. Everything about it, how I got in business, what I went through, my ups, my downs, my ins, my outs. And that's really what my book is about. It's about how I accomplished everything I've done in my life. And it turns out that I had a friend help me read it, again, a client helped me read it. She lived in Wyoming, and I'm in New York, and we did this over the phone every day till 3 o'clock in the morning. And she would proofread it with me. And that's how I wrote my book. We did it within a summer, and in 1 year, it came out.
Oh, I love it. And actually, it sounds like this book really is a story of inspiration that anyone can gain from reading this book.
Yes, that's the reason I wrote it. There are many people who have dreams, and there are many people who want to do something, and they're afraid to do it. They feel that they can't do it, or they need someone to help them, or someone keeps putting them down. And I wrote it for them. I wrote it to say that if I could do it, my words are, I just did it. If I could do it, let me tell you, Paula, anybody could do it.
Yes.
Really. Anyone can do it if you put your mind to it. That's the most important thing.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. So true. You are an inspiration, Tina. You really are. Will you tell the listeners, please, where they can purchase your book?
They can purchase my book directly from Tate Publishing, LLC. They could either purchase my book or an e-book. They can do it also on Amazon.com.
I love it. I love it. And what is your website, please?
My website is www.tinapanariello.com. And there's a contact page there, and they could also write me for an autographed copy and purchase it from me.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I can't wait. I love it. Tina, what would you say is your biggest accomplishment or achievement to date?
My biggest achievement was I was honored the 2015 Top Woman in Business. That I was taken aback. I could not believe it. I was honored with so many prestigious women within the Brooklyn area that I was on cloud nine. I was so humbled, and I would say that's what it was, that particular thing.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? What an honor. What an honor. And it's so fantastic to see you recognized for your efforts, for what you do for others, and your positive attitude. I love that. I love that.
If I don't have that, if I don't have it when I leave in the morning, I don't leave actually until I get myself right where I'm supposed to be.
I love it. I love it. Oh, I personally believe that our attitude, you know, positive, is how we create. It's how we manifest. And I have a sign on my door in my office. If I choose to be happy, no one can stop me. And isn't that so true?
Oh, that's great.
Thank
oh,
you.
I'm writing that down.
Yes, we are a pair, Tina. We are.
Yes, we are. Oh, I love that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, Tina, for the listeners out there who are considering or in the process of following their passion, creating the business they want to see, what words of advice would you give to them?
I would say, first, they should learn everything that they have to learn in order to open a business, every single thing within their state, because each state has different qualifications.
Yes.
Do not worry about any of it. Look at it. Don't let it stop you. Some of it is alarming, you think, but it's not, because eventually you'll get it. If you really, really want what you want, you're going to have it. Dreams come true every day, every single day. But you really have to say to yourself, do I really want it, or is this just a game? Is this just something that I'm thinking about doing? That could happen too. You could just say, okay, I want to try it, let's go, and it could work. Like me, a hobby.
Yes.
You could take your hobby and make it a business.
Yes. Yes.
Just do it. That's all I could honestly say. Just find out all the qualifications, find out how to go about it. If you need to get a loan, find out how. But start small. You don't have to start big. Start small. Start in your house, in your garage. You'd be surprised where you could start a business.
That's true. So basically, take one step at a time, because
yes,
if we look at the whole staircase, we could get discouraged. Oh, I have so far to go. But one step at a time. I love that.
Right. As you walk, like one step in front of the other. You started out as a little child, and now you're an adult. It took a while to get there. Not that it's going to take you that many years to accomplish, but you will grow the way you did when you were little. You were in the crib, then you started to walk, then crawl. You know, crawl, then walk. Same thing.
Yes. Would you say also we can have an idea of what we want to do, And that can actually change. Our focus and our passion can change, such as you took acting classes, but you have changed your path to your nail artistry. That's become your passion. And, you know, so do we stay open? Do we have a focus and a goal, but yet stay open to what else we may bring into our lives?
Always stay open. I'm still open. I'm still planning different things to do. I have my goals. I don't write my goals down. They're all in my head. I don't know how I do it. They're just there. I know where I want to go. But always be open for something new. Never have a closed mind. It doesn't work for you, nor for anybody out there that you could help.
Oh, I love that, Tina. I love that. So on one hand, have our goals, have our research, and the other hand, wide open and let that manifestation and let that creative flow happen. I love it.
Correct, correct.
Oh, you are just an inspiration. We have
Thank
about,
you so much, Paula.
Oh, you're welcome. We have about one more minute here to go. Anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we say goodbye today, Tina?
I just hope I help them and that they go after their dreams. It is so important. That's really what I want to say. It's so important to go after what you want so you don't regret anything. And if you don't make it, try something else. Just keep going at what you want.
So just keep going. Don't give up. Keep the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that. I love that. Tina, you are just a joy. I really look forward to ordering your book and staying in touch with you. And I would love down the road to even do another show. And possibly I would love to have you on my Voice America show as well.
I would love that, Paula. You are such a darling.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are. You're such a darling.
Oh, I'm
honored.
I'm honored. And I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners out there in the U.S. and around the world. I am so grateful that you're with us today. Love, hugs, and blessings. And a happy day to everyone. And Tina, a happy day to you also.
And a happy day to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Tina.
Bye. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. Today, I have a remarkable guest, Stephen Ganz. Stephen Ganz has a PhD. He is a business development coach. He is a relationship counselor, lifestyle coach, and network marketing professional. For the past 30 years, he has been a relationship coach and counselor, helping individuals, couples, and entrepreneurs develop winning strategies on how to develop themselves and prosper. He combines many years of successful business experience, invaluable skills in relationship building and collaboration, and his specialty is the use of state-of-the-art communication tools with social media. I am so thrilled to have you on the show today, Stephen. Thank you and welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Paula. It's very good to be with you, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
Oh, thank you. You are so welcome. Let's begin, Stephen. Tell us, what makes for health relationships?
Well, that's a great question, Paula. And I think if I were to say the one important factor that is key is listening. You have to listen to the other person in order to really get it, what it is that they're sort of saying. But you have to listen generously. And you'd think that, you know, people know how to do that, but often when people are talking, other people don't feel the person they're speaking with is actually understanding them very well or really listening very well. And so there's a disconnect. And that starts a whole process of distancing. So instead of getting close, so you know what this arena is now called? It's called conversational intelligence. And in order to develop your CIQ, listening is one of the key skills that you really have to work on. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes, it does. Because listening is learning and connecting, correct?
It is. It's being open, learning, connecting, and being able to be in a positive relation. And when someone feels heard, they actually release a certain chemical called oxytocin, which is a kind of feel-good chemical. Whereas if they don't feel heard, they release another chemical, which is called cortisol, and that actually makes them really feel bad. And so you don't even know that you're causing one or the other reaction if you're not conversationally intelligent. And so that's why often conversations go awry or don't work, both in the business world, but also in the world of close relations, of intimate relations with partners.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So how do we develop relationship intelligence?
Well, conversational intelligence is relational intelligence. And when we're listening, we're able to then show the other person we're hearing by giving back to them in our own words what we think we've heard. So, you know, it's really trying to understand first before then you try to get your own, say, point across.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So tell us, what do you do in your line of coaching to help with this? These development skills.
What I try to listen for is the style of communication, and when I feel that I can help a person improve, I try to point out in the here and now as I am engaged in speaking with the person I'm working with in coaching, certain little tweaks in the way they sort of are engaging and speaking with me that might help them come across with more connection, being a better connector. And the better connector you can become, the more likely it is that you'll succeed in what you're trying to achieve. There's also a very simple model that I like to teach and use when I'm working with people in the business coaching space, and that's the image that I can give you of a child's slide in a slide playground. I don't know. Are you familiar with that model of how that works for actually the marketing and sales arena?
No. That sounds exciting. Share that. That sounds fun.
Well, you know how kids, when they slide, they first come on the slide, and then they slide down the slide.
Yes.
Sometimes, though, they get stuck in the middle. You might ever see that happen, and they then need another kind of push. But the basic model is allowing gravity to move you down and to do it in a playful way. And so you have to start out when you are kind of in a mode where you would like a person to take a particular action. So say the action that I would like someone to take would be to, say, allow me to send them an invitation to a short video to watch. Okay?
Yes.
And so what I do is I first of all try and understand who it is that I'm speaking with. What is the gravity? What would motivate them? What do they desire? How can I help them? What can I do to serve them and address them in that language of what's in it for them? And this is a nudge down the slide. So when I pique their interest, or when I teach the people I coach to pique the interest of their potential clients, they get people with an easily, you know, formulated nudge to focus to their target market, to their target customer. And once they nudge the person of their own volition tends to then just go down the slide. And what you don't meet sometimes is something called resistance, like when you get stuck, the person doesn't quite, not ready quite yet to take the action, or it seems they're stuck, or they have questions, they have objections. And so what you want to do is you want to just make sure that they understand how, in fact, by following through, by taking action, this is the first step in the process of getting what they've said in the beginning that they really do want to achieve, which is, you know, they want to achieve, say, more financial freedom in their life, or they want to become better at serving their customers and winning new customers and repeat business. All these things really then follow once they understand how to address their target market and do it in an authentic way so that people go ahead and will slide down the slide with them.
I love it. I love it. So they gain these tools and they climb up that slide and they just slide down.
That's it. That's right.
I love it.
And then at the end, they then go ahead and they say yes. They just say yes. And then you'd send them the invite to the video and you'd slide again to then say, for example, offer a free trial of the product or the service.
Yes, yes. One thing,
and then again, they slide down.
Yes.
And you can sort of stay with them to as you would in the playground and make sure they don't get stuck on any bump along the way. And you need to be able to hear from what their concerns are so they feel addressed and those concerns met before they take the action that will help them move forward.
Yes, yes, so they don't get stuck. I absolutely love that, Stephen. My goodness, I love it. Well, in a moment here, we have to pop out for a break. Could you please share with the listeners your website or contact information before we break?
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like us to go ahead and following the way I've spoken of the analogy, tell your listeners a little bit about what I would like to invite them to consider, which is looking at a quick 90-second video, which will tell them how to grow their business, and then to give them an opportunity to get a free trial, and also to get me as their coach free for 30 days, to help them to learn how to develop and use the tools they would be trying out, which are video marketing tools and a video marketing system, how they could use that most effectively. So would it be okay if I just give you the link where the listeners could click on and get the video?
Oh, I think
and then
that
we can
be
talk in the next session about what's on offer.
That's fantastic, Stephen. I think that's perfect.
So it's 1-0-0-0-0-10. So that's 10. That's 1-0-0-0-0-10. So it's one, four zeros, and a 10, dot, join, talk, fusion, that's JOINTALKFUSION .com. So do you think the listeners might have gotten that, or would you like to repeat that for them?
That sounds great. That is 1000010. Is that correct?
Yes.
.jointalkfusion.com. I think that's perfect. And also to the listeners, this information is on the show page as well. So you can pull that up and have that link to check everything out. That sounds great, Stephen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, everyone, we are going to pop out, but we will be right back. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paul Levee here. I am chatting today with Stephen Ganz. Stephen is discussing the Talk Fusion system. He does so much for others in their businesses, their relationships. We're just going to jump right back in. I would like to ask you, Stephen, one of the things you do, I believe, is you coach business people out there, business owners who are struggling to develop and finance their business. Is that correct?
I do. I'm very interested to hear if people are in a position where they've been for some reason or another, and it's not their fault, turned down for loans by banks to expand, or even, you know, kind of build the have the money to pay their suppliers to fulfill orders, and yet they can't get money. And if people are able to contact me, because I have discovered to be able to get that money, and I'm talking up to about $10 million.
Because that can be a huge challenge for a business person.
It happens a lot that people are not paying their receivables in a timely way, and businesses even go out of business because of the lack of cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Let me ask you, Stephen, how do we integrate body, mind, and spirit and attract like-minded people into our lives? How does that play into all of this?
Well, you're really having to develop yourself to play a bigger game, and that has to do with the development and integration of all the different aspects of your life so they're in alignment. And so people will understand it, that you're congruent. When you're congruent, then you become somebody who is authentic, believable, someone who people want to know, like, and trust, and do business with. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
Yes, yes, it does. It does. I love it. I love it. What would you say, Stephen, is the number one life practice that leads to a happy life and positive relationships?
Well, I really think that the number one life practice is putting the other person first. And this is the basis upon which I've always kind of practice what, you know, I hope I do practice what I preach, and that means you know, giving the other person my time, attention, concern, and care, and it's not to ego trip or take anything other than a kind of what this can be an approach that's what I call ethical, and I get that from my philosophical background. And when I work with clients in the counseling arena, I also use that as the basis of my counseling approach to help people recover when people are sort of suffering, mental suffering of various sorts.
Oh, that is fantastic. So with your focus on them, making them a priority and caring about them and focusing on what you can do for them, what that must do for them, and you know, that's a beautiful thing for you with the giving of your attention and your expertise.
Well, it does you know, provide a fuller and richer experience in your exchanges with others, and also, as the very well-known motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said, and it's often repeated and it's very true, and this is called the law of reciprocity and the law of attraction, which I also try to coach people in, that if you help others get what they want, that's the way you'll get what you want.
Oh, that is so fantastic. I absolutely love that. I love that. When I, years back when I was a restaurant owner, I've always felt I have a server's heart. And what that has done for me, and I believe what it does for others, and you get back when you have that server's heart and you focus and care on what you can do for that other person, you do receive so much just in that giving.
Yes, it's called the spirit of giving. And it's funny, but I learned it when I was in high school. I was invited by somebody, a philanthropist, to attend an international camp. And so we had many boys from each representing their individual countries. And I was one of a dozen boys from the U.S. And it's very mind-expanding and made me a citizen more of the world and with an international outlook rather than just a parochial, limited, you might say, sort of chauvinistic or small town approach. And I always carry that with me as a great start in life, to have that, had that teaching inculcated, which we called him Freddie, the founder of the camp, who founded it in order to spread the spirit of giving to what he felt were people with leadership potential.
Yes. Oh, that is so beautiful, Stephen. May I ask, what brought you into this path, this journey in how you help others? What brought you there?
Well, I was teaching at a university as an academic philosopher for quite a number of years. But I realized that unless I could practice what I was teaching in theory, it wouldn't really be satisfying. And that took me on my journey to go to London to work with a world-famous philosophical existential psychoanalyst, a guy called R.D. Lang. And he was then my mentor for many years. And then for about 25 years, I practiced in his group called the Philadelphia Association. And it's coming from the biblical or Greek word Philadelphia, which is the organization's name. Philadelphia is based on brotherly and sisterly love. And so the love and the openness of heart was something that balanced my too much lopsided head trip at the time.
Oh. Fascinating. I love that. And you must gain so much joy in helping people out there with their businesses and their relationships.
Well, I learned something there that just kind of came by accident, if there are such a thing, where I founded an Institute for Management Studies for large companies. So I had the challenge of helping the large corporations do better business by introducing them to the top speakers in the world. And we had monthly seminars for their senior managers. But coming back to the States, I feel the future of business is in the small business rather than the large business, because the small business is going to grow, whereas the large business is going to shrink and break up into smaller businesses.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is so fantastic. We are down to just a couple more minutes. Stephen, what last words would you like to share with the listeners today?
Well, I would just love anyone who's out there listening to what I have to offer, both in terms of what I call neuromarketing through video, that is to learn how to be an active marketer and bring your message direct to the person in their email or through chat, and to bring yourself forward and bring yourself across by using the all-in-one marketing system that I have on offer, the Talk Fusion marketing system, and then my own coaching that goes with it, all for 30 days free to try it, and then a small monthly fee if you decide to buy it and become a customer. And then for those special people who are stressed because of their challenges in having, you know, insufficient cash flow and who want to grow their business, are already successful but want to take their business to the next level, I'd love to meet and speak with those people, because I have a source that would be a very honest and very reasonable way for them to move that forward, if even though they may have been not had the banks forthcoming and finding it difficult for them to get the money they really need to fulfill their vision and dreams.
Oh, I love it. I'm just so happy to share you with the listeners today, Stephen. I just have to say thank you for being on the show. Just fantastic.
Thanks so much for having me, Paul.
Oh, you're so welcome. And a big thank you to all of my listeners out there in the U.S. and around the world. And if you also know me from my For the Love of Reiki show on Voice America, thank you for joining us, everyone. Love, hugs, blessings, and a happy day to everyone. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Stephen.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.